Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Bay Area, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
You should, Steve, because I'm hot.
You're hot for the first time all year. You've won three in a row, and I don't want to hear any more about bad beats because the Raiders missed an extra point blocked.
It's not a bad beat.
To give you a win last
Special
night.
Special teams, yeah, my brother.
Whatever. Anyway, out to the River Islands guest line. Let's have some fun with our friend Steve Kerr. Presented by Great Clips in Sports. Success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips. It's going to be great. Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good. I'm thinking I'm going to need Dibs' help next week in my football pool. So if you're hot, send me your picks, please.
Yeah, no doubt. I might actually be around tomorrow. I tried to pop by today to see you, but you were more focused on improving your team than you were hanging out with me, which I take offense to that, Steve.
I heard you were in full official regalia. Is that right?
Yeah, I even brought a whistle. Regalia. I thought maybe you'd put me in for some scrimmage activity. That way I could kind of regulate between Dennis and Pods and the fellas and try to keep things in line.
Well, man, we should have arranged for that. You can't just show up unannounced. You know, we gotta set this stuff up.
Yeah, I'll do better in the future. Yeah, I got excited. I saw the stripes this morning in my drawer and my whistle was there. I said, I'm going to go see Steve. He loves refs.
Well, we got to make it happen for sure. I'm definitely coming out to see you in Marin, though, on your work day.
Oh, my gosh, Steve. If you don't let me know ahead of time, I'm going to be so mad. We got to do this. It would be phenomenal. Hey, Dennis Schroeder introduced himself today to everybody. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it was really exciting just to get him here so quickly. You know, sometimes when you trade for a guy, it can take a few days, but he wanted to get out here and get to practice right away. So he flew yesterday, had his physical, and had a great practice today. We'll have another one tomorrow before we fly to Memphis. And really exciting to have him here.
And so what would your, at least in the immediate, what is your plan for him starting Thursday night?
Well, we haven't decided exactly who our starting lineup is yet, but you can bet he's going to be out there quite a bit. He'll take all the non-Steph minutes for sure, and he'll play with Steph some as well. I just think having two point guards, two guys at the point of attack who can penetrate the paint and get the ball moving, I think that's important in the modern NBA. So Dennis is going to play a lot for us, and there's a reason we traded for him. We need him right now. Our last 10 games, our offense has been among the worst in the league, and we think he's going to fill the shoes of DeAnthony Melton, you know, who was our starter next to Steph, as you know, and gave us another point of attack guy. So we've missed that, and it's exciting to get Dennis because he's a hell of a player.
Does this affect the Pod's minutes at all, or is his role completely indirect as it relates to Schroeder now joining the team?
I actually think this will really help Brandon. You know, a year ago, he played most of his minutes, like 90%, next to either Chris Paul or Steph Curry. So he was really playing the two. And what we like about Brandon is his playmaking. But this year, he's been playing mostly as the one, and that's a different role entirely. So I think this will be good for him. He's really good on the backside of a play. You know, when somebody else creates an advantage and then he gets the ball, he's great at creating the next advantage or you know the next pass that's there. And that's where he thrived last year. And I'm hopeful that getting him back into that role will help him get going.
Yeah, Coach, you actually said today that you felt it was almost unfair that you guys have put him in that position so far. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, he came to us last year as a combo guard, and you know, he played next to two Hall of Fame point guards in Chris and Steph, and then to make him the lead ball handler behind Steph this year on a team that, you know, isn't like really a modern NBA spacing team where you got four or five out. We put him in some positions where, you know, he's trying to make plays. There's not a ton of spacing. It wasn't easy on him, and that was a role that was new for him anyway. So I think this will make the game a little easier for him. I think, you know, anytime you get a new player, you kind of have to gauge what it does with everybody else's role. And so this will create some opportunity. Obviously, Dennis will also take up some minutes, and there could be some opportunities taken away as well, but we are just going to do whatever it takes to win, and that's the plan, and you know, we'll see how it shakes out.
Has that been the message to Pods with Dennis coming in, that you know now he doesn't have to necessarily press as much or try to make as many things happen when he has the ball on offense?
I told him exactly what I just told you guys about, you know, kind of returning to last year's role, which so he understands that, and he's a great young guy, and he's competitive, and he's frustrated with his own play. So he's sometimes with a young guy, you almost need to free him up from himself, and you know that's the idea, is to you know, help him along, make the game a little smoother, a little easier for him, and let him shine in the areas where he's really good.
Steve Kerr with us as he is every week. Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Coach, you guys made this trade literally the first second you could. And I get the replacement of Melton and that specific need. But I wonder what else you would say this sort of says about the urgency that you guys currently have, especially Mike Dunleavy said, with the window of Steph, Andre, and you.
Well, we won 46 games last year and missed the playoffs, so we know how tough the West is, and the longer we waited on this move, the tougher it would have been to not only that, to acclimate Dennis, but to win games, because we needed his skill set. And so Mike was really operating with a sense of urgency, got the deal done. I think it's a hell of a move, and we're just excited to get this thing going.
Is size a challenge late in games defensively when you play Dennis and Steph together? And if so, does that change what you're going to do with the other three players on the floor late in games?
It can be, but most often it I don't think it really is in the modern NBA. With the game so spread out, to me it's more about speed and quickness than it is about size. And you know, it all depends on the combinations you put out there. But again, I like having the two-pronged point guard attack. Dennis is really good defensively. You know, he's not a big guy, but he's quick. He's got long arms. He can guard either spot. And he's got a great feel. He's a competitor. So I think those two will end up closing a lot of games together.
Steve, you guys have talked so much about the offense and the struggles there, but the defense has kind of been a calling card. And then here comes Dallas and scores 143 points. Were they just on fire, or did you see something of concern there?
No, they were. They played a game that they're not gonna lose that game the way they played. No matter who they're playing, no matter what scheme we're in, they were lights out that night. You know, watching the tape, you always have some regrets. You think maybe we should have done this, maybe we should have done that. But I look at the big picture. 25 games in, that was the exception, not the rule. The rule has been, you know, we've been a really, really top-notch defensive team, and I know that we're going to return to that.
How challenging will it be for you going forward to balance out Kuminga and Draymond playing together? And I'm asking because if Kuminga's out there playing the four, then Draymond's playing the five, and it seems like there's some reluctance to play him at the five a lot. How are you going to look to balance that out going forward with Kuminga and Draymond out there together?
Yeah, that's really the challenge, you know. The pieces have to fit. They have to fit in both on both sides of the floor, and we have to navigate our way through that. So, you know, what we know about our team is we don't want Draymond to be the full-time center. That's too much to ask of him. He's at his best when he's at the four. We're at our best defensively with Draymond at the four and either Trace or Loon at the five. But that does limit some of the minutes JK can play if we're going that route. So it's tough, but I think each game is going to be different. There will be games where JK and Draymond close with Draymond at the five, and there's going to be games that Draymond misses, and you know JK will play a lot at the four. And every game's different, and you just have to figure your way through it.
Coach, I get that this could be a wee bit sensitive. That's not what I'm going for. I just have to be honest with you. It caught my attention when Mike Dunleavy the other day said, "Hey, we're mindful of this short window that we have with Steph and Dre and Steve." Like, it caught my attention that he put your name in there as well. I don't know. How did that grab you? And what can we take from that?
Oh, I wouldn't read into that at all. I think Mike was just being complimentary of the fact that we've had this amazing run over the last decade, and you know, the three of us have obviously been part of it together, and you know, we're trying to maximize this run for sure. And this is the NBA, you know. I mean, I'm under no illusion that, you know, I'm going to be Greg Popovich and be the coach of the Warriors for 25 years. So I signed a 2-year extension, you know, this past summer. I'm feeling great. I love my job. I love working with these guys. I love working with Mike. And he's just speaking the truth. Like, this is a window we got. We're going for it. And when the window's closed or whatever, you know, we just see where everything is, and we all decide what we're going to do, and I don't even give you know, one thought to that comment.
Yeah, and you've done really well at staying in the moment, and over the course of the last week worth of moments, you've had just the one game. What's that been like for you and the other coaches and the team to have kind of a mini all-star break to just regroup and get ready for the final 57 games of the year?
Well, it came at a good time. We've had guys banged up. Wiggs missed a couple games. You know, Steph was really hurting last week. So I think getting this time off, we will have had four practices in a week by the time we get to Memphis Thursday night for the game. So that's huge for us. We hardly ever practice in the NBA these days anymore. It's just game every other night, travel. So to get four real days of practice, particularly with Dennis joining the team and, you know, getting to acclimate him, I think it's really important for us.
Interesting with all the time off to see that Moses Moody is still listed as doubtful for the game on Thursday. Is this injury maybe a little bit more than we realized?
I don't think so. You know, Rick has assured me that this is not something they're worried about long term. It's just, you know, we got to use this time to get him right. And until he's right, it doesn't make sense to throw him out there. But he's using this time wisely. He's been in the training room, the weight room. Didn't scrimmage today, but got a lot of shooting and conditioning in. So I don't think it'll be long. And Rick has given me that same indication.
Buddy's been in a little bit of a slump. Buddy Hield, and I know he's a super gym rat and gets up shots at all times and all hours. What can he do, and you as an offense, to get Buddy back to where, maybe not exactly where he was at the start of the year, where he was completely on fire, but back to what we're used to seeing from Buddy Hield?
Well, I think shooting comes and goes. You know, even the best shooters go through dry spells, and Buddy is one of the best shooters in the game. So,
sorry about him. There it is.
Yeah, they're big Buddy fans, so they heard me mention his name. No, I just think, if I had to say one thing for Buddy to get going, the best thing he does is run the floor in transition, and it just helps us and him so much. And so with the faster our pace is, the better Buddy is. And so I want to really, get back to playing at a fast pace and free up Buddy in transition, and I think that'll help him get going.
Steve, did some Amazon packages just arrive or something?
I think my daughter is walking in the house right now.
So oh, yeah.
They were excited. Dogs were excited to see her. So.
Dibs is over here being hot with his picks, and he's taking that as he's going to start picking all the underdogs.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
None at all. No. And yes, no response needed from you on that. Steve, since I know you're locked into 95.7 The Game and listening every single day, you know that this conversation about now versus the future comes up all the time. And here's one thing that fans wonder about, and I wonder what you would say about it. We know Steph can still perform at a very high level, but is it realistic to build a championship-level team around someone who, come playoff time, will be 37 years old?
I think the answer to that is yes, it's realistic. This is a once-in-a-generation player and athlete. He's superbly conditioned. We just watched him 2.5 years ago carry us to the title. This is Steph Curry's team, and he's still an all-star. You saw him in the Olympics this past year. It's our job to put him in a position where we're in the playoffs and we give him a chance with the best group around him, the best schemes, the best coaching, the best training staff, and that's the focus. And Warriors fans know really well that guys like Steph don't come around very often. We went 40 years between titles from 75 to 15. So we have Steph. He's still playing at an elite level. We have to give him every resource to try to take us home again, because we've watched him do it 4 times. So that's why we're doing what we're doing.
What can you do to help him late in games? Because one thing Mark and I were talking about is a lot of screen roll with Draymond, and most teams just now trap him and get the ball out of his hands. Are there other sets or other approaches that you're looking at to try to find other ways to not only get him more effective late, but maybe get other people involved in the fourth quarter scoring?
Yeah, we've spent a good chunk of the last 3 practices going over late game execution, and it's one of the reasons we traded for Dennis. Frankly, he's a guy who can handle the ball under pressure and get Steph off the ball, and those two can play together down the stretch, and we can do a lot of things there. I think Wiggs is having a great year. I've got to do a better job of putting him in a position to attack in some of those situations, and then we've just got to execute better, and that comes with practice being locked in and executing our stuff, and more than anything, getting stops, at the other end. When you can get 3 stops in a row late in the game, that's really ultimately what wins games. But all of that stuff combined is the answer. And we know we've given a few games away this year, and so we've got to tighten that up for sure and be able to finish games out.
Steve Kerr with us. All right, Steve, now to the good stuff. We won't talk to you again before Christmas, and you've mentioned to us that you've struggled in your past as a gift giver. And so strategically, how are you going about it this year to see if you can improve?
It's amazing that you just asked that question, because I just got home from Christmas shopping about an hour ago.
Okay.
And, and my wife saw me walk in with packages, and she said, "It's December 17th. I don't even know who you are anymore. You're a week early.
Yeah.
You're a week early." So, I got it done today. I'm very proud of myself, I must say, and I'm awful at this stuff. So I think this year I somehow got it together.
Well, where'd you go shopping, and how many people are you shopping for?
Just immediate family. So my wife kind of handles the rest of it for extended family, which is she's very good at, and I'm very blessed that she handles all that. So just my kids and my wife. And, we're going to keep that quiet, because they all listen to this show, you know, nice. Religiously. They love listening to their dad / husband talk, because they don't get to hear me talk enough at home. So I don't want to give away where I went to get their gift.
Okay.
Right. And if you're still thinking about gifts for, I don't know, your two favorite radio hosts, Mark and Dibs, I'll take an autographed Zach Zarba picture if you can come across one.
I'll actually take one of those. That's a great ref and a handsome man.
You said it, Steve.
Do you know why? I'm jealous, Steve, that you're like, I went shopping and now I'm done. Like, did you just do this in a day? I've been working on this with three kids for a month right now.
Well, how old are your kids?
They are 17, 15, and 10.
Yeah, way, way tougher. Mine are 32, 30, and 26. It gets way easier, trust me.
Yeah, my kids are 23 and 21, and all it took was a trip to the ATM, Steve, and that was done.
There you go. Give them cash. Cash is always welcome.
That's it.
Steve, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Get a bunch of wins before we talk to you next, too, okay?
We will. Happy holidays to you guys, too, and everybody listening out there. And, we're going to get things rolling again.
Steve, thanks, awesome. Man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. There it is. Steve Kerr on 95.7 The Game, a one-day Christmas shopper, and December 17th, the earliest he's ever gone.
And his wife is absolutely stunned that he walked in with packages and he's done 8 days in advance.
Well, I mean, how many days off have they had over the last week?
A bunch.
I don't like this, by the way. This is another reason I hate the NBA Cup.
The final's coming up in 7 minutes.
Yeah. You know what?
Big game.
Bleep you guys, Bucks and Thunder. I don't care. I'm not watching.
NBA Finals preview, Bucks and Thunder.
I'm furious that this is going this way. I want more games. I don't like this. So let's take a week and a half and have one game.
Well, you're going to get some games now.
I know.
They play on Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Monday.
I know. They get into an every other day cadence now for
which
the next week
and a half.
Which
is why he needed to shop today, because they fly out tomorrow in the afternoon to Memphis, then Minnesota. They come back the 22nd. Sunday the 22nd would be his only real day other than Christmas Eve day. And Sunday the 22nd, I would advise people, you better stay out the stores.
Yeah,
that's going to be the day.
Sunday is, for me, like, just watch football. I tried to take my daughter shopping last Sunday, and I did. And all she did was get frustrated with me and make me feel like a horrible person, because we're finally spending time together, right? And I'm in the middle of the fantasy playoffs, and every time she turns her head to look at an item, I'm like, whoop, how we doing? Whoop,
I'm on
she's like, put your phone down. I'm like, but Devontae Adams just got another catch, honey.
And isn't she in the playoffs too?
No, she didn't make it.
She didn't make it.
She didn't make it. But I finally ended on this. I'm like, honey, do you want me to afford the gifts that I'm buying for you or not? I need to win this fantasy league.
And this upcoming week too.
And maybe one of my other leagues too. I need this, honey.
You need this.
You
need me to need it.
You want another? I'll get you another gift if we win this thing. Anyway, yeah, I can't. I don't want to be in the mall on Sunday during the witching hour.
Do the kids buy for each other?
They do. And this is the stressful thing.
So the big will buy for his sister and the little will buy for the two bigs and vice versa.
And guess what? They're like, I want to get him a car. Can I have some money so I can buy him a car?
Right.
And they're like, and what do you want? I'm like, I don't want anything.
I want you out of my wallet. That's what I want.
I just gave you a bunch of money to buy other people gifts, and now you're asking what I want? I want you to stop asking me for money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's Christmas for us with the 21-year-old. He sends me an email. Mom says you guys are going halvesies on a new computer. Here's the invoice. Merry Christmas. Who do I Venmo?
Wow. Wow. So thoughtful of you.
Well, hey, I mean, he hit me. I looked at the price point and said, all right.
Yeah, not bad.
Looks like I'm Venmoing your mother. Christmas is over.
Dennis Schroeder on playing with Steph Curry.
When we got traded, I was kind of shocked. And my wife told him we got traded, and he asked, where are we going? And we said Golden State. He was like, oh, we lucky. Now it's a good team at least. And that was the first thing, and I had to laugh, and I was in a bad mood. So he's, of course, Steph Curry fan. I mean, we battled in London as well with our national team for the NBA showcase, and he got to see him there. And then, of course, in Paris, he's a big fan.
Yeah, I tell you what, it is just the most incredible dynamic maybe that the NBA has ever seen. There's always popular players. Certainly for our generation, nobody was ever more popular than Michael Jordan. But Steph Curry, even still now, he's 36 years old. If you're a little kid, if you're like elementary school, maybe even middle school or lower, and you ask that group, and I don't care what city you live in, who's your favorite player? I swear to God, the answer 95% of the time is Steph Curry. He has... whatever this thing is, it speaks obviously to all NBA fans, but to kids, probably more than any athlete I've ever seen in my entire life. It's crazy.
It's because you can look at him and think,
in the eye,
maybe. You can look at him and think, maybe I can be that. You look at LeBron James as a nine, like your son is a fifth grader. He can't look at LeBron and think, yeah, I could be LeBron. No, you can't, son. Your dad is tall, not that muscular, and you're not going to be 6'8 and an absolute monster of physicality. It's probably not going to be your route. You look at Steph Curry and the baby-faced assassin. He's not super yoked. All he is incredibly highly skilled. And yes, genetic lottery. His dad's a knockdown shooter, and his mom was an elite D1 athlete. So he's got that going for him, which is nice. But the kid put in the work. He shot the shots. He dribbled the dribbles. He did all the things. So when you're a kid, you can look at him and think, maybe I can be that guy, which I guess is why I love Chris Mullin as a kid.
Okay.
Not that I was ever going to be 6'7", but you watch the way he played, and he didn't overwhelm you with athleticism.
Close to the ground.
Not necessarily the fastest, but highly skilled.
Sure.
Unbelievable shooter. Put in the work. Smart player. All the things that you can kind of assimilate too. You can kind of look at him, and I couldn't be Patrick Ewing.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we gravitate to who we sort of see ourselves in. We had this conversation with Kurt Warner earlier, and he brought up, like, yeah, he loves Brock Purdy. Like, he can sort of relate to the path that they were on. You mentioned my fifth grade son. He does love he loves Steph Curry, but you know who else he loves? If you asked him who his favorite player is, he'd probably say Steph, but pretty quick down the road, he would say De'Aaron Fox. You want to know why? Because my son's left-handed.
There you go.
So he sees...
also small and quick.
Yes, he sees De'Aaron Fox play, and he's like, oh, like, hey, that's like me, right? Which, no, it's not like you, but you get what I'm saying. So that's a good observation. I'm also struck by what Steve just said to us, and you know what? We can open up the lines on this, and I wonder if Steve convinced any of you. I wonder. 888-957-9570. We do not need to let this fall into a two timelines, Jonathan Kuminga conversation. Should they trade him? Should they not? But I was struck by the definitive nature of Steve's answer when I said, is it realistic to build a championship team around someone who's going to be 37 years old? And he's like, yes. Yes. Not every 37-year-old, but this 37-year-old. Do you have it, Grandy? Here it is.
I think the answer to that is yes, it's realistic. This is a once-in-a-generation player and athlete. He's superbly conditioned. We just watched him 2.5 years ago carry us to the title. This is Steph Curry's team, and he's still an all-star. You saw him in the Olympics this past year. It's our job to put him in a position where we're in the playoffs and we give him a chance with the best group around him, the best schemes, the best coaching, the best training staff. And that's the focus. And Warriors fans know really well that guys like Steph don't come around very often. You know, we went 40 years between titles from 75 to 15. So we have Steph. He's still playing at an elite level. We have to give him every resource to try to take us home again, because we've watched him do it 4 times. So that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Okay. Does everybody buy that? 888-957-9570. Just focus on Steph. Do you believe that that guy at age 36, going to be 37 in March, still has it in him to be an NBA one on a championship team?
Yeah, and I say it with hesitancy, right? Because, and I'll use your phrase, he's allowed to. And I also think it's a little bit like the Brock Purdy conversation where you don't have another choice. You're not going to be able to bring in another one, I don't believe, unless you completely gut the franchise and gut it of picks. You're probably not going to bring in a player better than Steph. Let's just say that Steph is the 10th best player in the league right now this season. Might be higher, might be lower, whatever. The top 9 most likely aren't available, so you don't really have a choice. And I do think that what I asked him as a follow-up, like, what's up with the end of the game? How do you get somebody else involved? And he said, well, the last 3 practices, we've actually worked on that. And this is where Dennis can help. Dennis Schroeder is a guy who can come in and maybe take off some of the burden from Steph. It doesn't mean that he's now the one, but if Steph has help, if Wiggs continues to play well and Kuminga can score and Schroeder's a threat, well, now you have a more plausible route to still do that.
Okay, so do I have this right? The finishing lineup, I know he didn't announce it, but the finishing lineup, assuming health for all, Steph, Schroeder, Wiggins, Kuminga at the 4, Draymond at the 5. But the starting lineup, Steph, Schroeder, Wiggins, Draymond at the 4, Looney / TJD, Kuminga off the bench. Is that what we're thinking right now?
I think so.
That's what I'm thinking. Grandy, is that what you're thinking?
But yeah, possibly. He said at times we could close with Kuminga and Draymond. So maybe it's a matchup-based thing. Maybe they still go with a big, an actual Looney or TJD to close as well.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Depending on Draymond's matchup at the 5 and also how, you know, he's doing physically.
Sure. And foul trouble 5. And all the things, right?
Yeah, many things. But I do think that, you know, having Steph and Schroeder on the court finishing is good for the offense. I wonder about the defense. When you play some of these teams with a couple of big guards or bigger guards, OKC's a matchup nightmare no matter what. But Steph at 6'2 and Schroeder at 6'1, and I know he's got a 6'8 wingspan. Everyone's talked about that all day.
Yeah, he does. He's got big arms.
Quite a span. So
he's a good defender. Not a great defender. He's a good defender.
Feisty. I like the feistiness, yeah. But size-wise, that's a kind of a small backcourt defensively.
It is, but to me, if what you're throwing at people defensively at the end of the game is Steph, Schroeder, Kuminga, Wiggins, and Draymond, you could do worse.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Well, and Wiggins can guard anybody 2 through 4. Draymond can guard 3 through 5. Kuminga, he can guard a wing, he can guard a 4, and then, you know, Steph and Schroeder will have to find a way to guard the point guard, and maybe you put one of them on the worst offensive player on the other team.
Yep. Let's go to Matthew in the city on this. Hi, Matthew. Thanks for the call. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Just driving home. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Guys, I have to tell you, I'm a little nervous about Schroeder and Curry in the backcourt for the same reasons you said. I just think they're undersized, and I just wish we had a bigger guard. I was struggling with Melton and Curry. But now you get Schroeder and Curry, and that gets – we're smaller. And I just know. I'm just not convinced it's going to work. But, you know, I'm an optimist. I'm a Warrior fan. Let's do it. Let's see what happens. But I am a little concerned.
Matthew, that's fair. And, I don't know what it's going to look like defensively. I certainly don't think you're losing anything by going from, say, a Pods or whatever it is to Schroeder. Do you lose maybe an inch or two in height? Okay. But I like the offense that you're gaining, you know, it's a push-pull. And I think the offense that you're gaining is definitely worth what you're losing defensively. And I'm not convinced you're losing anything defensively. You're losing a little size, but you're probably gaining, you're certainly gaining some know-how, some moxie, and all of that. So I don't know. The concern is warranted, but I don't know, man. To me, it's an upgrade on both sides.
No doubt. And it's an upgrade because you go from a player who can't play to a guy who can play. And just looking at the Pods portion of it, Pods can be in there in the finishing lineup if he's playing well, but if he's not, you feel comfortable with Schroeder, who can do a lot of things defensively that Pods can't. Pods can rebound better and he takes charges, but I think Dennis Schroeder is a more overall polished defender. Steph and Draymond are going to be out there, and Wiggins, the way he's playing, he is too. And then that fifth spot, it can rotate. It could be GP2 if you want to focus more on defense. It could be, you know, somebody else, TJD, if you want the size, right?
This was just brought to my absolutely. This was just brought to my attention. That cut we just played of Steve Kerr, him saying yes, Steph Curry at age 37 can absolutely still be the one on an NBA championship team. Listen to where this goes at the end. Listen to the way he phrases what he says about helping Steph Curry. And then let's talk about this for a second. This is an almost minute-long piece of Steve Kerr's interview. Listen closely to the end and what he says about getting help. Check it out.
I think the answer to that is yes, it's realistic. This is a once-in-a-generation player and athlete. He's superbly conditioned. We just watched him 2.5 years ago carry us to the title. This is Steph Curry's team, and he's still an all-star. You saw him in the Olympics this past year. It's our job to put him in a position where we're in the playoffs and we give him a chance with the best group around him, the best schemes, the best coaching, the best training staff. And that's the focus. And Warriors fans know really well that guys like Steph don't come around very often. You know, we went 40 years between titles from 75 to 15. So we have Steph. He's still playing at an elite level. We have to give him every resource to try to take us home again, because we've watched him do it 4 times. So that's why we're doing what we're doing.
We have to give him every resource to take us home. How does that grab you?
That grabs me to the point where Mike Dunleavy's working the phones, and he's going to Mike and saying, let's go to the phones. And every resource to me is, in a small way, what they have in the building, and it's getting the players that you have better. But if you're going to look to get every resource, that to me involves other players that you can bring in to help this team be better.
For sure.
That's the resource. And Dennis Schroeder, and you had a great question about that. He didn't give you a great question, but it was a great question. You said the very second that you could do it, you went out and you did do it. And Steve
That's a great
said,
question.
Steve said, yeah, Steve. We did that because we need the help. Now is a very important time in the season.
Mm.
And they went out and got resources for an injured Melton. You got the German Dennis Schroeder to come in and immediately try to help you on this journey.
That is an impactful statement.
Yeah.
That's an impactful statement.
Every resource.
I just think, look, does it mean something's definitely going to happen? I don't know.
Trades are hard.
They're hard, and you need 2 to tango and all that stuff, and then, you know, they're not going to do something that's wrong for the organization. I buy it. To me, though, it is just a window into the thought process. That's really what we're trying to access right now, the thought process. And what I wonder is, if do you get to a point where the Warriors do kind of say, bleep it, you know? Like, we're going to take
these picks?
Well, we're going to take a risk on doing something that we even feel 5 years from now may not be the best thing that we've ever done. Might not be the smartest thing we've ever done. But hell, in that moment, it made all the sense in the world. And, you know, I'm mindful of all the conversation that I've heard around this idea, which is, you know,
mortgage the future.
The picks, and Kuminga's going to be, you don't know, Kuminga could still be amazing. I just think that's the Warriors' thought process. So they may look at you and go, you're right. Kuminga might be amazing. But, quote, we have to give him every resource to take us home. So that's what I'm bracing myself for. I'm bracing myself for something that may not look so smart a few years from now.
May not work out in the short term. Could be a huge gamble. But if Steve's talking about giving him every resource, I think that those resources are out on the open market ahead of the trade deadline. And, you know, it's up to the Warriors and the players to go from now to the deadline and continue to be a team that looks like they are one resource away from being a championship team.
No doubt. Absolutely right. We're sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We'll take your Warrior phone calls on the way out the door here at 888-957-9570. But also, major breaking quarterback news in the NFL that we will tell you about coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
What are you asking exactly? I'm so confused by your question.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Go ahead, hit it.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
The Atlanta Falcons are benching Kirk Cousins and handing the job over to Michael Penix Jr., their first-round draft pick out of Washington.
You like that?
There is more. He does not like that.
Ooh,
but there's more.
That? You like that?
No, you don't. It's not just a benching. I want you to hear the exact wording of the statement put out by Raheem Morris, the head coach. Okay? This is after beating the Raiders last night, but Cousins still looked not good. Quote, after review, we have made the decision Michael Penix Jr. will be the Atlanta Falcons starting quarterback moving forward.
Oh, moving forward.
Moving forward.
Not in week 17.
Not in week 17.
In week 17, 18, and one next
and
year.
And forever.
Right. Wow.
So he says this was a football decision. We're fully focused on preparing for the New York Giants. Now, what this means, it is relevant to us because Kirk Cousins is now available on the trade market.
Oh, boy. Thank God the show's almost over. I just can't.
Now, here's something to know. The Falcons paid Kirk Cousins $62.5 million just this year. As part of the four-year, $180 million deal because of signing bonuses. $62.5 million already gone. He is due $27.5 million fully guaranteed next year. So that's the number. It's not 60. It's not 40. It's $27.5 million for Kirk Cousins. And he has a full no-trade clause. But I promise you this. If somebody else is offering him a starting job, he'll waive that no-trade clause.
No doubt.
Now, I don't want the gravity in my voice to be taken as I'm suggesting that the Niners go get Kirk Cousins instead of Brock Purdy, but I have a feeling there will be some Niner fans intrigued by it if Brock continues to struggle on the way out the door this year.
I guess.
And Kirk and Kyle has flirted with the idea of Kirk, as we know, before.
Many, many times.
Right.
He's had Kirk, and he was a part of the team that drafted Kirk after they had already drafted another quarterback right before him. And the out would be at the end of next year where it's a $35 million dead cap. So if you do trade for him, if you're out on Brock and you want somebody and Darnold's not available, maybe you go out and you get Kirk Cousins for a year, 37 years old next year, and maybe it's because of the Achilles that he didn't look good this year. Maybe it's because he's just getting older, but he's looked progressively worse of the successive starts.
He's been brutal the last month. I mean brutal.
Brutal.
Interception machine the last few weeks. Kirk Cousins.
Well, he leads football in interceptions thrown with 16.
16.
Yeah.
Had four against the Chargers on December 1st, two more against the Vikings last week, and then another one against the Raiders last night to go with 112 yards passing in that game last night. And he's got weapons, okay? He got Drake London and Darnell Mooney and Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts. Like, he's got everything that you would need. I'm with you. I don't know about the injury. I don't have that many questions about Brock Purdy. We can talk about playing in bad weather. We can talk about whether or not he's actually elite. Let's define elite. But I have no problem with Brock Purdy as a good quarterback. He's the future quarterback. I don't think that this will make the 49ers blink, but who knows?
It's fodder, at the very least,
well,
because of the Kyle Cousins connection.
Right, and it kicks the can down the road. I mean, I still don't know what the hell you would do with Brock. What you could do, have him as your backup? You know? You're going to trade for Kirk and pay him $27 million for him to be the backup? Or are you just like, yawn, whatever. This does not involve us.
I think. But, I mean, to the extent that we've talked about Sam Darnold and Brock the majority of the day, Kirk Cousins is, right now, he's probably not as good as Sam Darnold, but there is the Shanahan connection with Kirk Cousins. So if it is because he hasn't been healthy this year and Kyle has a belief that maybe he can be healthier and better next year, well, then there is a conversation.
Let's take some calls on this.
Really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Kirk Cousins has a full no-trade clause.
Right, right. So, we mentioned. But
yeah. So he can dictate wherever he wants to go.
Right, but if he's going to be benched and someone else is offering him a job, he's gonna waive the clause. And my God, if he could go to Kyle Shanahan...
Seems interesting.
He would drive himself if he knew he could have the job.
Well,
I don't think the job is open. I'm saying that out loud. The job's not open.
There are other jobs that will be open.
Yes.
And some of the mocks I was looking at yesterday are saying only two quarterbacks in the first round, so it's not a good quarterback draft. And as I mentioned before, this free agent class is trash for quarterbacks. Right. And so you look at a lot of teams that are going to need a quarterback.
Yeah. Do the Titans want him? Do the Colts want him?
The Giants?
Do the Raiders want him? They got a good look at him last night. The Giants is a great, is
Tennessee,
a great answer.
I mean, Will Levis?
Sure.
He not very good. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
There's some options. I mean, Cleveland. Did you mention Cleveland?
I did not.
I mean, Cleveland's got.
Are the Jets going to move on from Aaron?
Well, that number is gigantic.
It is.
I mean, that's a big eat.
I'm going to eat it.
Totally.
You know?
I don't know. It's
all right, let me
very
just,
interesting.
Let me just, it is. I'm going to take a pause and I'm going to say this. It's going to be a no from me, dog.
Thank you.
But,
thank you.
But, let's go to Jay in many places. Hey, Jay, what's up?
Hey, man, this is Jay. Yeah, I was Jay in Oakland, Jay on the 24, Jay getting a massage, and then Jay at the weed store.
Hey,
Jay.
That got serious fast. Good job, Jay.
Indica or sativa, Jay?
Oh, hybrid.
Attaboy.
Indica leaning.
I like that.
But
yep. guess where you are now, Jay? You gone.
Oh, my God.
Let's go to Sebastian in Monterey. Hi, Sebastian. How you doing?
Hey, guys, doing good. First time calling in, but love listening to you guys every day after work.
Thank you, sir.
So just wanted to say, you know, obviously I think this whole situation now with the QBs is going to make it very interesting for the Niners. I personally don't think you should trade off Brock for it, but I think it's going to give the Niners some negotiating on that price that Brock can maybe get from them. I don't know if they want to play that dangerous game like they've been doing each year, but I think it does give them some negotiating. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, that's an interesting point. Sebastian, thanks. I mean, I guess if you're going to get into a conversation with Brock and the numbers aren't right, you do need to have a plausible other idea to sort of dangle in front of Brock to make him scared that maybe he would lose his job.
Yep.
I mean, sure. It could go that way. I don't think it's going to, but, it is, you know, that's part of the conversation, I guess.
Right, and, you know, the fact that Atlanta's doing this now tells you that they don't cling to their playoff chances. They're two back of Washington. They would need wins and some help, so they're looking at it and thinking, I'd rather have three games of Penix and take our chances as opposed to watch one more snap of that. And you're right about the no-trade clause. If he's getting yanked now for a guy who's never taken a snap in the league, that tells you that if he still wants to play football, he's going to look to go somewhere else.
This was such a fascinating pick when the Falcons made it. I've never seen a team do this. Use the number eight pick in the draft on a quarterback and break off somebody $62 million to also come play quarterback for you that year in a $180 million overall deal. It got so much discussion at the time, and this is just the next soap opera twist.
Yeah.
So, all right. We were sitting here taking bets on what Steiny will want to talk about at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Because he loves Captain Kirk.
Kirk Cousins or Steve Kerr saying that every resource needs to go to Steph. What's your pick?
Kerr.
Yeah. We got a big old show tomorrow.
Me and you?
You got to get your butt ready for Greg Cosell.
I'm ready. I got notes.
Bobby Marks is on the show.
He's awesome.
Hunter Pence is on the show.
Who woke up Lucas?
Yeah. Probably not him. Somebody
Hell
else.
Hell no.
Yeah.
We're in the freaking bay.
What's up? That's a big show.
Yeah. Good morning, Lucas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And that's tomorrow. That's coming up tomorrow. You want to be here for it?
I kind of do, okay. Yeah.
All right, good. Do you want to be here for the best of the game with Mark Grandy?
I'll listen to it on my walk.
All right, that's
I always
next.
Do.
It's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. For Dibs, for Grandy, and for the director of sports, Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.